Well, we're in Luke chapter 2 this morning, and we'll be reading from verse 6 through verse 20. We're in our third week of the celebrities of the celebration. The first week, we were able to look at the wonderful life of Mary, and one of the great things we saw about Mary was the very real fact that she was available for God to work His plans in her life. Last week we looked at the life of Joseph, and we saw something really amazing about his life in that he essentially set aside his own rights for God to have His rights in his life. This week we'll be looking at the shepherd's life, what they have to share with us. Following week, we'll be looking at the Magi and those called the wise men, kings from the east. I thought maybe we should even add another fifth Sunday to the series, and that would be the star. You know, the star should be a celebrity, shouldn't it? Don't you think? Stars are always celebrities. Something about the star that helps us get a grip on the significance of Christmas. Well, you see the celebrities up here this morning. I was kind of thinking that it's a staged scene. You know, they're kind of posing. Let's get a little bit of a reality check this morning. I don't think it was quite like that. I certainly appreciate Chris and Anita helping get this all set up. But you know what? I don't know that it looked exactly like this. I think we could kind of let our imagination run for a bit this morning. What it may have been like at that manger. Can you just imagine what it would have been like? This week I realized something kind of profound. Christmas, it's all about presents. Amen? No amen. I mean, I really believe it. Christmas is all about presents. Amen. We got an amen. Praise God. Christmas is really about presents. And the more presence, the better it is. I realized I woke up on Wednesday morning and I was laying there in bed and I thought, wow, Christmas, it literally is about presence. You see, on Wednesday morning, I was laying there in bed and I thought, you know what? Our kids have just arrived from Ohio. And they're not saying anything right now. It's quiet in the house, but they're in their two bedrooms, and there's a presence here. You know, it's all about God's presence. God's presence in our lives. That's why Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. And the shepherds help us get a grip on it this morning. All about presence. God's presence. Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Reading from Luke chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 6 to verse 20. While Mary and Joseph were there, Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, and for some of you, you need to hear the word swaddling, I know. Swaddling cloths. And placed him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the public hotel. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you great news, good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Amen? "Today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, Jesus, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her own heart. And the shepherds, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Ah, what amazing story this is. The story of the shepherds. This story gets a fix on me this morning. I don't know what it does to you in reading the story of the shepherds, but it just kind of gets the claws into me, and it gets all over me. Because you see, something's happening here. The Bible says right off here in verse 8, the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Does that mean anything this morning? You see, shepherds, normal shepherds, stay with their sheep. We don't have these things called fences, barbed wire, or whatever you have. These shepherds stayed with their sheep. Actually, the Bible says right here, they were tending their sheep by night. A good shepherd. Actually, Jesus said it something like this. A good shepherd will always watch after their sheep. They won't run away. The one who is a hireling, the one who does not have the heart of the shepherd, the one who does not understand what it's like to be a shepherd, will run away whenever something bad happens. And so we find that these shepherds were tending their sheep at night. That's just kind of what happens. The shepherds look after their sheep all the time. They sleep with their sheep. And so what excites me about this is this. The shepherds were occupied with their sheep. You get it? The shepherds had a responsibility. They had an obligation to keep watch over these sheep by night. And literally, what could have happened? The shepherds could have missed it. You hear what the Scripture is saying? We can be so occupied and so enthralled and so busy with the things around us, the things that are surrounding us in our world, that we can miss incredible events and opportunities in our lives. But the shepherds, They were with their sheep. They were occupied. They were enthralled with the responsibility they have, but they did not miss this event. Amen. For you see, with the event, they have an announcement. Isn't it interesting that Mary had this announcement, and Joseph had this announcement, and now the shepherds have the announcement about the Christ being born? And with every time the announcement comes to these three different celebrities, the same thing happens. They're all scared. They all really freak out. The Bible says that Mary said, how can this be? Joseph was not too pleased that Mary, to be betrothed to him, to be married to him, is with child. How can this be? And every time the angel says the same thing, God's messenger says the same thing when God shows up on the scene, don't be afraid. I believe every time that God wants to speak to us, there are emotional things that happen to us. There are things that God asks us to do, and we're never ready for them. There are times where we feel emotionally scared to death. And God wants to say to us, don't be afraid. I've showed up on the scene, and I have plans for your life that are way outside of the box that you're currently living in. And so God says, don't be afraid. Often the probability when God shows up on the scene, God will show up with a message for you that is outside of yourself. But look what the Scripture says. We don't need to be afraid. The shepherds didn't need to be afraid because it was good news. The Bible says, good news that is for all the people. Whenever you hear the word good news, or you hear the word gospel, they're the same thing. Gospel, good news. When God shows up on the scene, it's good news. Folks, we live in a world right now that needs good news. God's people have a message of good news. It's called gospel. It is good. 2010 is here. It's almost out. 2011 is going to be starting. We have good news for 2011.
Jesus brings to our world good news for our day, where we live right now for such a time as this. And the Scripture says, as the angel speaks to these shepherds, it is for who? All the people. All the people, all the time. God's message has always been for all the people. When God spoke to Abraham, He said, when I bless you, I am going to bless you so you can be a blessing to all the people for all generations. All the people. Let us never think somebody's out in a corner and that the good news is not for them. For a Savior has been born. For a Savior has been born. His name is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. He is the Lord. Now for those shepherds, the word Savior was familiar terminology. Because if you know anything about sheep, if you hung out with sheep for a while, you know that they need to be rescued and they need to be saved quite often. I remember, I didn't grow up with sheep on our farm, but I do remember the stories of the sheep that had lived on our farm. And I remember my dad and some of my brothers repeating the stories about those crazy sheep. Those sheep that we keep having to get back. And they get under the fence and they do things that they just shouldn't do. We're just continuing to have to rescue them and save them and apply all the things that need to be applied to their lives so that they can live. So when the shepherds heard about a Savior that was for all the people, they recognized that a Savior had come for the entire human race. And then they heard the news, this: you will find Him wrapped in swaddling cloths and in a manger. I wonder what would have happened for the shepherds if it had been this way. The king has been born. Just to let you know, he has been born at the local mansion that the king owns in Jerusalem. Just want you to know that he's there. What would it been like if Jesus had been born anywhere else? You see, for the shepherds, a manger is a very easy place to go to. It would have been a place that not only had they been invited to, but a place that they would feel welcome to bring even their sheep. You see, God always invites us. And sometimes we have viewed the church as not always being welcoming. We as a people of God, we are inviting people, but we are also a welcoming people. That when we give the invitation, when people come to experience Jesus and to experience life with us, we not only have given the invitation, but when they come, they feel and they know that they are welcome. Amen. We've given the welcome to come to our home, and several of you have dropped by. It's been fun having God's people come to our home and enjoy fellowship and friendship at this thing called the parsonage. I guess that's where the parson lives. We're so glad you've come. This Christmas Eve from 3 till 9, we invite you to drop by. We're going to have some goodies there, and you just come at your leisure. Whatever is a good time for you. If you want to share in communion together, we'll have communion. If you want to pray together, we'll pray together. Please come. You're invited. But you're also going to be welcome in our home. Invited and welcome. And so the scripture says, verse 15, let's go. Shouldn't we have that attitude and that mentality when we have opportunity to come into the presence of Jesus Christ? Let's go. The scripture says they rushed or they hurried to the manger. They wanted to get there. They were the first on call. It's something about being the first on call, because when you're the first on call, you're in the know. You know what that's about? Let me just give you an example. Mom and Dad come home, and they announce to the kids, guess what I know? And everybody wants to know. Oh, what do you know? These shepherds were the first on call, but they were first to know, and they were able to be empowered by what knowledge had been given to them by this experience. And I want you to think about it this morning. Because they had been invited, and because they had been welcomed, and because they are very good shepherds. The shepherds, what do? They don't leave their sheep. The shepherds, don't look at this scene and see two or three sheep with one shepherd. Look at this scene this morning and see several shepherds, probably with several hundred sheep jumping up and down all around this manger scene, because not only are the shepherds invited, they come along with their sheep. Oftentimes in Rwanda, Africa, where we served, we would see the shepherds tending their sheep. And when they went to town, the sheep went to town with them. There were literally sheep in the streets. And folks, we should have that kind of invitation in our lives, that when people come, they come with everything they come with, so that they know that they are welcome where Jesus is. They came to a place and a person where they had been invited. What happens next is amazing, because when they had seen, the scripture said, and when they had experienced this presence of Jesus, the newborn son, they spread the word. Amen. Something happens. The scripture says they returned glorifying and praising God. They returned in a different way. The experience of the presence in their life changed their return. The presence gave them something to talk about. A few months back, had a phone call. It was Joseph. Joseph called and said, John, how's it going? And it began to bring back memories in my life with our family in Rwanda. Joseph now lives here in the United States. At one time, he was one of the highest ranking individuals in the Rwandan government. And Joseph had called. And as I began to think back about those days with Joseph in Rwanda, the stories began to come back to my mind. You see, Joseph was a man who had guards around him all the time because of his position. One time, Joseph had invited me to spend some moments in his office in the main government building of Rwanda. When I had gone, I drove up to the guard booth just outside of this building. The guards said, who are you? Who are you going to see? I explained to them who I was, who I was going to see. They said, Joseph is expecting you. Go right ahead. I met his secretary and I met another secretary. He said, just go right on up and just open the door. Joseph is waiting for you. That was pretty amazing. To be able to literally go through all of the security to sit down in the office of one of the highest ranking officials of Rwanda. I kind of felt special because of that. But I began to think about that. Joseph had come to know Christ in Rwanda. Literally, Jesus changed his life dramatically. And on a very regular basis, whenever Joseph did not have government responsibilities, Joseph would go with his guards, his others that would protect him and provide for him, and they would go to a building where we would worship together. It was a building that had literally been destroyed by the war. The floors were earthen floors. Literally, when people would walk onto those floors, because of the earth, there would be a lot of dust. My kids, I remember, they would come home and they would wipe the dust off of them. But Joseph would come to this place, a high-ranking official, to this church to worship God with the people of God. I thought that's pretty amazing. Why would somebody of his rank and of his caliber come to a place like this? Nothing fancy. And the response would be this from Joseph. The reason I come to this place with the rest of this family of God is because I believe, and because I feel, and because I sense, and because I know the presence of God is in this place. Amen. You see, Jesus tells us about a great wedding feast. Jesus tells us about a great invitation that all of us have been invited to. And Jesus explains that in a parable. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 9. Jesus says, invite to the feast anyone you find. You go out there and you find anybody who is willing to come. They are invited to this feast. God invites us to his presence. And for the shepherds, they were not invited to come to a performance, but they were invited to come to a presence. They were not invited to a production, but they were invited to a person. They were not invited to come and take a picture of the manger scene and gawk and say, oh, isn't that a nice picture we got? But they were invited to a possibility of having their lives changed and transformed for the rest of their journey. They were not invited to simply a passing moment that would be there for just a little bit of time. But they were invited to a passageway to all of eternity. And when Jesus invites us to His presence, He is inviting us to a life of transformation and a journey that is always with Him in His presence. As Emmanuel, God with us. And as we open ourselves up to Him, God's Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Oh, isn't there something about the presence? Isn't there something amazing about the person of Christ? I think many of you are aware, 2 weeks ago, Sunday night, the presence of God was amongst us. It was an amazing moment, an amazing evening in the presence of God. And I heard rippling throughout the following week, something happened in the life of this church as God met with us. In fact, when I got home that Sunday evening, our children asked us the question, both of them, on two different telephone conversations, what happened tonight? We heard something happened tonight. The word had already gotten out. There's something about the presence of Jesus. We invite the presence of Jesus amongst us. We do not invite a production. We do not invite a performance. We invite the presence of Jesus. When we meet with Jesus, we have the opportunity of going with Jesus so others can meet with Him too. Because the presence has become a reality of our lives. There's a song that says, I stand amazed. And I would like us to sing that this morning. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I pray that God get such a grip on your life that the presence does everything to transform who you are and how our world can become because we have been with Jesus. Ah, the shepherds, they returned from Bethlehem. They returned from this baby Christ Jesus. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Could we stand and sing that song together? I'm not sure if it'll be on our overhead, but we will sing it together. God's speaking to you this morning. You desire to know His presence. He's already inviting you to come, to worship, to experience Him, His presence in your life. If you'd like to meet with Him at an altar of prayer, The altar is a place that you can meet with Jesus. But I'm also aware this morning, Jesus is just as real in the pews as he is at an altar. Jesus' presence is not held by a time or a place or a space. The altar is a wonderful place to come and lay yourself before God and say, God, I desire your presence. I desire you in my life. I lay myself before you. But I wouldn't want to hold back an invitation just to an altar. Where you are at, the presence of Jesus is right where you are. He invites you to come to him and experience his presence as you've never experienced him before. His presence will radiate in your presence. And that as you go out into this present world, the present world will experience God's presence through your life and through who you are. You're invited to come. You're invited to just bask in the presence of Jesus this morning. But I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, who is the Nazarene. Oh God, thank you that the quietness and the stillness, we can experience your presence. God, enable us to celebrate the presence of Christmas. The presence of God. Thank you, God, for the presence of your Holy Spirit with us this morning. And thank you that you have met needs beyond what we could ever imagine today. I pray as your people go out, they will go out in peace. And they will go out with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as the presence of the Holy Spirit goes with them, that the very presence of their lives in connection with the lives of others will too experience this presence of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. I thank you, God, that a baby called Christ would change the world, and he has changed the world for us today. Blessed be your name. We praise you. And may the grace and the peace and the joy and the thanksgiving of God go with you all. Amen. And amen.